Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Bone of the Mo Thugs movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen, in the world full of followers, be proud to be different, be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. we got the dopest apparel, men and women, everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm gonna ask you this though, what do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. You know, today's show is a tremendous one, but it's also a bittersweet day for me. Katie Red Dragon Collins is in the hospital fighting for her life right now. She had a brain aneurysm. You know, it makes even today's show even more relevant because we can talk about certain aspects in the fight world and in regular life with everyday people because it applies to everybody. You know, first and foremost, I want to welcome nutrition scientist, dietitian John Sassone, and Brent Sanford and Weston Wilson to the show. You know, when the show was brought to me, I'm a nut on these types of shows. I like to do it because not too many people want to put the truth out there. And I think the truth is necessary. You know, I think it's up to a fighter to truly listen to it, grasp it, and move on in life and have a successful career. I think a lot of fighters don't really realize how much knowledge is out there because you look at the old style, the era that I came into the sport, you know, what coach said is golden, you know, and a lot of fighters still live that path to this day, but it's not necessarily true. When you look at the full picture, aspects like you, John, are tremendous.
Yes.
Because you put the facts, you put scientific evidence behind this type of aspect. Now, going back to Katie Collins real quick, you know, I don't know if the aneurysm was suffered during training or, you know, getting ready for a fight camp or whatever it is. But, you know, we talked about this on the last show before we move forward. You know, how much damage does the dehydration and rehydration of the brain cause? And what are the effects going on in life in the future as a person, even if you step out of the sport?
Well, the long-term effects are definitely defined through looking at other individuals or people from other realms of life that have chronic dehydration. And so what we're seeing in other individuals that have chronic dehydration is, of course, long-term kidney damage, reduced nephron capacity, which is the filtration of toxins from your body. And so you got to think about it like this. The kidney's job is essentially to filter out toxins, to retain minerals, to filter minerals, things like this. So when you dehydrate, you're clogging your nephrons in your kidney, causing them to work harder. And the damage done is there for life. Once your kidney nephrons are damaged, you know, you think about like a filter, the filter cannot repair itself. So when you have these mixed martial artists or other combat athletes dehydrating themselves, the long-term effects will linger. And sure, they may not see it for 20, 30, 40 years or what have you, but it does occur definitely to the kidney for the long-term. Short-term, the brain damage is there as well. I know we talked about in the last show that dehydration, it restructures the brain. It restructures the water content. It causes the brain to basically be like a donut, if you will, where all of the water goes to the outside of the brain. Inside of the brain, there's less water and a higher concentration of minerals. So what that does essentially is it resembles what a brain would look like for an Alzheimer's or dementia patient. And then the long-term effects for dehydration on the brain is also compounded by the fact that you're destroying the mitochondria inside the cells of the brain. The mitochondria inside the cells of the brain is the powerhouse for the energy source. So you're going to go ahead and you're going to reduce your cells' abilities to break down energy inside the brain. So that is also a component for future increases for dementia and Alzheimer's. And then you got to look at the fact that, like we talked about in the last show, you're reducing the cushioning in the brain. So now you're going in there, you're getting hit. Your brain cells are no longer as cushioned as they could be or should be. And so now you have less ability to absorb impact and more likely to have brain damage in that way as well. You know, for a clinical setting, if someone is dehydrated, for where I come from, that means they have a good chance of up to death within the next 30 days, in fact. So that's, you know, looking at people that are already, you know, severely hurt in another way. But that is just another way to look at what we're doing with dehydration and cutting weight and then going ahead and rehydrating again and getting back in the cage and getting hit. So.
Most definitely. You know, there's two instances that truly come to mind, and we're going to get right to Brent in a second here. You know, you look at Sajara Eubanks. She was pulled off The Ultimate Fighter because both of her kidneys had shut down, and she was hospitalized over the situation. Now, that's something she's going to have to live with for the rest of her life, and a lot of people don't understand that. Then you look at Aspen Ladd, who truly shouldn't be fighting at the weight that she did. When she went in for her last UFC fight at weigh-ins, she could let alone barely walk, and she cried, literally cried, getting on the scales. You know, many of us old-timers, the 1% of the sport, we felt that the fight should have been called off at that point. You know, but we all know it as it is now, entertainment, and it's truly not about the fighter. It's about putting asses in the seat and money in your pocket. You know, I think that a third entity needs to be added into that aspect of the commission and oversight of the fights, because it truly should be more about the fighter than it is money in your pocket. And then that kind of leads me to you, Brent. You know, 25 years as a chef in restaurants in New York and Connecticut and so forth, you moved out to California, but you decided to do a meal prep aspect, but with the help of others. You know, what was it that truly make you take that step on the path to define a product that would be supplemental, nutritional, and take care of the fighters, but not just the fighters, but everybody in every aspect in their walk?
I basically just kind of stumbled upon it. My friend Weston here was cutting for a fight, and he said, "Hey, I want you to show me how to cook." And I said, "Well, why don't I just cook for you?" And it just kind of spun off from there. And I had started doing jiu-jitsu, and I was like, I'd like to meld the two together. I'd like to work in gyms, work with athletes, and also give them a good meal. So it didn't actually start with nutrition as much as just having a good meal, a good rounded meal, I guess. There was health involved, but it was just a way for me to kind of get away from what I was doing and work with the people that I wanted to be around. And that was people in the gyms. And then after doing it for a while, realizing what is actually needed, because my first conception was just good food. Now it's way more than that, and it's more about the science that you bring to it, and how you could put good food that's healthy food and it has all the right nutrients together.
Yeah, they're not mutually exclusive. I mean, you can have great nutrition, great tasting food, and you know, there's no reason to be separate from it. Only a few
Having a hard time hearing you, brother.
Sorry. Yeah. So basically, essentially, they don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can have food that tastes great as well as be extremely healthy for you. So that's kind of what Brent is able to do now and what he does for the fighting community. But, you know, just back to the whole dehydration aspect of our sport, you know, just for the dehydration component being the damaging part, you know, that's not the case. Once you rehydrate, a lot of times you're going to have electrolyte disturbances and imbalances. So that's another thing that, you know, fighters need to be aware of, that once they dehydrate and then now they have to rehydrate, they have to make sure they put the correct mineral dosage back. Otherwise, from a clinical standpoint, we'd be concerned with some diagnoses such as hypokalemia, hypomagnesemia, and hypophosphatemia. And those three electrolyte disturbances can cause seizures, you know, low blood pressure, respiratory distress, impaired oxygen transport in the blood, muscle spasms. I mean, you name it, delirium, hindered reflexes. So now we have these fighters cutting weight and then replenishing their electrolytes as best they can, but we know that they're not able to do it to an optimum level, and we know that from the clinical standpoint, because we would never, ever have someone dehydrate, lose all their glucose, all of their energy in their body, and then all of a sudden rehydrate and try to get back to normal in 24 hours. We don't do that because, you know, again, it's just very dangerous. And so that's just another point to bring up regarding the process of cutting weight.
Now, let me ask you a question, Weston. You know, me and John, we kind of already brought it up a little bit on this show, but I think it's tremendous because not only do we have the three main components and what it takes to keep a fighter healthy and safe, but we also have a fighter so we can get a fighter's point of view. You know, when was it in your career that you started to notice that, you know, it truly wasn't the cut that caused the most harm, that it was the massive rehydration that was the most crucial part and damaging part to your career and body?
Yeah, so it's funny. I have been doing this for a really long time. I was a wrestler in high school, and I cut a lot of weight. And then in fighting, I was cutting a lot of weight, mostly because I was 5'6", like 112 pounds my sophomore year, and then I grew 6 inches in 1 year. And when you do that, you kind of get body dysmorphia. You think you're still a small, scrawny kid. So when I started doing MMA, I thought I was a small, scrawny kid, so I was cutting down to 135. And my weight cuts were fine. I made a 30-pound weight cut at the time. But I started having, like, troubles in some of my weight cuts, and I'd get really sick. And it wasn't so much like it was the next day I'd be sick. I would have like a cough, or I just feel fatigued, and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this way, like in my rehydration process. So I started studying a lot on my own on the rehydration process, and a lot of that goes into what are you eating before then as well, because a lot of that will help you rehydrate and everything else. And so I started doing a lot of independent research, and then right before his last fight, I mean, 2 weeks before my last fight, I started talking to John and kind of getting a couple ideas and everything. And obviously, everybody's different. Every fighter's body is different, and so they react a little bit differently. And so it's just a matter of tweaking things now with John in order to make sure that my rehydration's perfect, my dehydration, the weight cut are perfect, you know, and making things, you know, go a lot smoother, because it plays a huge difference in your performance. This last fight, I struggled with my rehydration, and I was fighting at elevation as well, which plays into it, and I came out really, really flat, you know, just wasn't moving the way that I normally move, and I was really slow, and I fatigued halfway through the fight, and so it definitely plays into it, and so now it just invigorated me even more. Like my next fight, I've got to make sure that I'm even more disciplined and everything is even more spot on, so that I don't have that fatigue and that flatness and you know, the dizziness from the rehydration process.
Weston, I believe also another component of your your last weight cut was that you start out at a higher weight. You think that might have played into it?
Yeah, 100%. So we decided to bulk up a little bit in between. And the problem was originally I was slated to fight September 28th. So that was going to give us an additional 3 weeks to lose all the weight. So from my last fight in May until my next fight, September 6th, we had bulked up to 180 pounds because we wanted to put on all the muscle fibers. And then we'd lose the weight, but at least we'd hold on to that increased muscle fiber. But it made it a lot harder to lose weight. So 5 days out, instead of me doing 15 pounds, I was doing 20 pounds. And like 30 days out, I was already cutting my calories, which I normally don't do. I cut my calories 14 days out. So it definitely played with my metabolism and everything else. So yeah, there's a lot in it because I didn't fight September 28th. I ended up fighting September 6th. And so that cut 3 weeks out. And so it forced me to change everything really fast. And my body wasn't able to adjust, which then hindered my performance.
You know, a good buddy of mine, Zach Cummings, he's a welterweight in the UFC, you know, and you go back to UFC St. Louis, you know, you're talking about a guy that makes about a 30, 40-pound cut, and he was doing a Epsom salt bath to get that last few pounds off, and he went to get up, and he fell back, and he cracked his head open to the point that he wasn't able to fight. You know, I want to kind of get all three of your perspectives, because to me, I think that even though there's a rule in place that says if you miss weight three times then you have to move up to the next weight, to me, I think that it should be more diagrammed. It should be more put into place that there is a set factor, that there's a cutoff of how much weight you can lose. You know, and John, you do the scientific research and the studies on it. I'm going to first start with you. Do you think that a program needs to be set forth that if a fighter already weighs a certain weight before the fight, before it is cut, that should be addressed and looked at and maybe reconsidered in pushing them up to a further weight class or even, you know, and some of them, you see some fighters that have to put on so much to get to that weight class. Do you feel that, you know, that needs to be looked at and documented and talked over with a fighter and changed in the fight world?
I absolutely do. I think it's just the culture of our sport and the, you know, the beginning of combat sports was always in weight classes. You know, you look at the history of boxing. And then through time and through, you know, essentially learning how to manipulate the body weight, you know, become more and more extreme on making a certain weight class and then, you know, fighting at the highest weight possible. And that's just become a part of our sport. You know, it's just as much a part of our sport as other aspects of our sport, such as the training, you know, the perfecting technique. So now we have, unfortunately, a lot of people who cut such tremendous weight that they absolutely, without a doubt, are doing long-term damage. And, you know, and then also, you know, if you remember the research we're doing, we're finding now that that's not going to improve your performance overall. You know, the fighters that, like, for example, Weston here, who cut 35-plus pounds for his last fight, he did not have improved performance by cutting a tremendous amount of weight, you know, versus someone who may have cut a more reasonable amount of weight. So, you know, there's two aspects of it. We can have the actual athletic commission or the organization, you know, police the fighters in order to have them not cut as much weight. But then at the same time, we need to educate the fighters and let them understand that these massive weight cuts are not improving their performance. And I do have the data to back that up. We will be releasing studies in the future. So, you know, unfortunately, the athletic commission and the organizations may not be the ones to change things. I think just getting the information, the science out there to the fighters may be the best way to do it. But, you know, there's a couple ways to do it, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of a touchy subject, and it's kind of taboo in our sport, as we all know. You know, Brent, you opened Fight Food Co., and it's a tremendous thing. What was it that you saw in John and in Weston that decided to have you guys three pair up? Because, man, this is a tremendous team that could truly change and make a difference in the sport as we see it. You know, it's truly beneficial for the fighters. You know, like I told John in a personal phone call, there was only one gentleman that I truly looked up to in what you guys do, and that being Tyler Minton. He's a nutritionalist, and he's one of few that I respect. So what was it that, you know, brought you or correlated you into this aspect? And truly, I know you're a jiu-jitsu practitioner, but what was it that defined you into making this final decision and coming together as one to create this aspect?
My original goal was to get the fighters to walk alike. That's from day one, that's what I wanted to do. When Wes told me how much he was cutting, he usually cuts 20, 25 pounds. To me, that seems like a lot, but for him, it's just normal. But I thought to myself how much easier it would be for them to adjust from a lower weight if they can maintain that. So that was my goal, to make them walk lighter, let their bodies adjust, let the weight cut be a lot less. And then, you know, the rest is, you know, kind of it fell into place as far as moving forward with the company, finding John, and now everything's changed. I think we are definitely a complete company that will offer a lot to the community and fighters, of course, and hopefully in getting people to walk lighter as they, you know, even in their off season, that's going to be a big game changer.
I think one of the ways. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don.
No, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say there's a lot of ways we can do that from a nutrition standpoint. Number one, I think, is increasing one's metabolism. So most people understand how to lose weight by cutting calories. That's, you know, simple. The problem with that in the long term is that if you cut calories, your body has what's called a set point. And what that means from a clinical aspect is that your body will always try to retain its current weight. Whether you're trying to gain weight or lose weight, whether it's a proper weight for you, it still tries to retain its current weight. So when someone cuts calories, their body will eventually try to inhibit other processes that take calories. So sure, it's going to try to retain muscle mass is number one, so that's nice. But the other aspects that occur inside the body in order to reduce metabolism will be hormone manipulation. So we'll see this, you know, for example, if you've ever heard about female athletes that cut calories, sometimes what will happen is they'll no longer have a period. And so for a male standpoint, what occurs is they reduce their testosterone production. So one of the first components for cutting calories that the body will use in order to retain mass or not to manipulate mass will be to hinder hormone production. So what we do that's different is that our foods increase the metabolism. And so you're doing it a different way. And so what you're essentially doing is you're allowing your body to burn more calories throughout the day. That increases the amount of energy it can produce. That increases the amount of hormones it can produce. And so it makes the body more efficient. And so that's our goal, is to make the body more efficient in order to have the correct body composition rather than just reducing calories.
See, I like that, because basically what you're doing is you're taking the scientific approach, but you're also taking you've got a practitioner and a fighter that's on a major promotion, and you've correlated all your thoughts to create a tremendous product and an aspect out there. See, the thing that's always bothered me is, you know, because you did bring up, you know, the female fighters sometimes don't go into menstruation and testosterone in men. You know, and the thing of it is it's throwing a 20-year-old body into a 40-year-old synopsis. And, you know, a lot of that can't be regained. So it's not just, you know, to my listeners, it's not just about fighting. You know, it's not just about a weight cut. It's a long-term effect. And these three gentlemen are trying to correlate that and make a better path for each and every one of you. So I suggest you download this episode so you can re-listen to it. I'm on, you know, iHeart, Univision. And the more you download it, the more we'll get played in succession, because I think this information needs to be shared thoroughly. And any fighters listening today, I think you really need to listen to what these gentlemen are saying, because what they're bringing to the sport is second to none, in my opinion. And I don't put my stamp of approval on very much in this sport. The thing I want to ask you, Weston, because you're the fighter, you know, the man that has to do this, you know, wouldn't it be more beneficial for you to fight in a weight class that's closer to what your walk-around weight is? Don't you think it would allow you to have that much more ability instead of making that massive cut?
So I did. I mean, I did go up to 145. I started out at 135. Well, my very first fight was at 145. Then I went down to 135. And I fought at 155. So I fought at all three weight classes, 135, 145, and 155. For me, when I do it right, I'm the best at 145. That's when I am walking at 160 to 165. Like for my Bellator fight, my whole camp, I was 159, eating whatever I wanted. And that was ideal. I felt great. I felt phenomenal. The only like thing in my mind was, oh, I'm so light. But then, like, looking back, hindsight's 2020, I was like, I was light, but I was still strong. I was really fast. I was really, you know, my cardio was great. I didn't get tired at all. And my ability to take a shot was even better. So that's the thing, is like, your ability to take damage in a fight is better when your weight cut is on point and you're not cutting a ton of weight. So for me now, like, my goal is to just keep my walking weight no higher than 165 and no lower than 160, because then a 15-pound weight cut is really relatively easy, and I'm within the commission. A lot of commissions are now doing that 10-point system now, California especially, where I'm based out of, where you have to weigh in post or right before you fight, and you can't be more than 10%. You can't put on more than 10% is the guideline. I think 10% is a little too much. I think 12 and 13% would be the ideal point, in my opinion, especially since you look at since California releases all that. I know Utah does the same. Most fighters are putting on about 12 to 13, where the fighters who are really doing a lot of damage, they're putting on, you know, 17 to 20%. And that's where I think you're cutting a little too much weight. Or at least putting on too much weight post-fight too, because I think a lot of fighters, their post-rehydration or their post-weight cut, their rehydration portion, I think they're doing it wrong as well, like ingesting a ton of red meats and a ton of food, because your body, you cut out, like for me, I cut out like red meats 2 weeks before. I'm living on like very minimal, and then I used to like just eat whatever, like I'd go and get a cheeseburger and I'd feel like crap the rest of the night, and then into the next day. And so now I'm like, well, my body for the last like 2-3 weeks, I've been eating like fish and chicken and rice. So that's what my body's already used to. So then when I eat again, I put in, you know, chicken, rice and fish. And that's like I realize that because my body's used to digesting that at that point. And so that's what I do now for my rehydration. It's been a lot better. But yeah, it is. Weight cutting is damaging, and that's why I'm trying not to weight cut as much.
Yeah, that's why I think this correlation between the three of you is tremendous, and it's going to make a huge difference, you know, because it's always been something that's, you know, when I had John on the first time, it's always been something that's truly bothered me, so I was like, to have John on, it was great, but I kind of want to tell the horror side of this and to kind of implement and show the sports world, you know, how important it is that you go to the right people. You know, I'm transparent in life, and I hope you gentlemen don't mind, but I call people out by their name on my show, you know, for the simple fact that I got so much hate mail and so many testimonials back after I had this nutritionalist on that it blew me away to the point that I had to delete the episode because I didn't want that knowledge shared anymore. And that was by a gentleman, you know, Doug Casebeer. I had him on my show, and next thing I know, I mean, I wake up the next morning, and I've got literally hundreds of emails, thousands of inboxes, and it was just like, what in the world is going on? And I got all these testimonials that, you know, the guy almost killed me. The guy, you know, ruined my body more than helped my body. How important is it, John, for you to truly find that key element like you three have brought to the sport? And, you know, we talked about it on our private phone call. A lot of people look at the internet, they Google it, they this and that, and they're so misinformed. What is the best way for us to get the mission statement out there on the true guidelines and how a true nutritionalist and scientific aspect is correlated into the sport?
Well, that's an unfortunate point of life, is that unfortunately a lot of the information out there, especially for aspects of nutrition in this case, are not going to be accurate. And it's, you know, it's human nature. We try to look for things that are new, things that are sound good. Shortcuts. And, you know, there's a lot of bunk information out there, even on mainstream media, even on mainstream podcasts. And it's just whatever sounds good, whatever sounds new will attract people. So, you know, our goal is, again, to try to just make sure everything is evidence-based. And I highly recommend making sure that you're not just doing what hearsay suggests you do or what someone with anecdotal evidence will suggest you do. And because the danger is there, and, you know, not just your performance, the long term. So, you know, I'm going to have my website updated, combatsportsdietitian.com. I will be bringing all the latest evidence-based research on our sport for nutrition to the public. So that's one source that people can go to. And then other than that, just make sure that, you know, they're not just doing what the other guy does or what the other guy says or what their coach in this profession will sometimes say. Make sure you have a real expert, and make sure, you know, basically if it sounds too good to be true, it likely is. And
keto.
Yeah, like the keto or the, you know, even
worst weight cut of my life. I did a keto diet. And the thing is, I really, and that's one thing that sparked me to study, because at the time, like 3 or 4 years ago, like every fighter was doing keto diets. And that's where I like started learning like different body types and everything react differently. So I'm a tall, like I'm 6'2", you know, I'm skinny. And so I cut out all my carbs for a whole fight camp. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to do keto. And it was literally the worst weight cut. I was almost hospitalized. Should not have fought. I ended up contracting pneumonia because my immune system got so weak. And fought with the pneumonia. It didn't help that the locker room was 45 degrees and it was snowing in Utah. And yeah, and I fought at 12 o'clock at night. I don't know. Like, a lot of fighters do a lot of stupid things because there's so much bro science out there. Just as John was saying, like, you know, it's a matter of learning, and you think, like, and you get miserable too, because you're like, okay, all I can eat is the same thing every day, and you know, and I'm training, and then by the time the fight's there, you're burnt out already. You're ready to quit, or, you know, you're ready to take vacation, you know. Whereas if you do it right, you're like, okay, I feel great, and I'm ready to go into the next one.
Yeah, you have to remember the fight is actually in the cage on the next day. The fight isn't 24 hours before, just to make weight. So, That's also another aspect of our sport, is you have to look at what's different for fighters versus the general population. Long-term for keto, they don't show that it's beneficial for long-term health. Short-term, it can help you lose a little bit of weight. That's true. So you have to remember that just because it's popular on the internet or it's popular on, you know, some media source, even the news or the webcast or whatever, that doesn't mean it's evidence-based. And you have to look for reputable sources. And
what you're saying, the heart rate thing with keto.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, with keto, your heart rate is going to be messed up. Your brain chemistry is going to be messed up. Your hormones are going to be messed up. So, you know, again, you have to be specific for fighters. You have to be specific for your person. And unfortunately, a lot of the hearsay and the bro science, if you will, that's out there can be dangerous and detrimental to your performance.
See, one thing that, you know, we talk about the weight cut and rehydration, you know, but there's another aspect that, you know, has really perplexed my thoughts, because you do this massive cut, you know, people think you're just affecting the brain, but you're also affecting muscle mass, organ function, and things of this nature. You know, a good friend of mine, Linton Vassell, who also fights in Bellator, you know, I remember getting a phone call from one day. He said, bro, I'm going to step up to heavyweight from light heavyweight. He said, I just can't do it anymore. I'm too big. It's too damaging on my body. You know, but at the same point, he goes, now I can eat whatever I want. But coming from a scientific and nutritional aspect, that's not necessarily true. You know, it might make you feel better, but it's not going to make you perform better just because you stepped up in weight. What are those fighters that are now stepping up in weight, you know, thinking that they can eat everything they want? What would your thoughts be to them, and what type of aspect would you perplex to them in meal prep? Because meal prep is the most essential aspect of a fighter, in my opinion.
Well, yes, and, you know, obviously having the ability to eat as many calories as you want or having more calories is a component of nutrition, but that's basically just the surface. That's the thing that we all know. You know, if you can burn more energy, or if you want to gain weight, you can eat more calories. So that's, you know, that's true. But then you have to look at the deeper levels of nutrition, and we all know about macronutrients, fat, carbohydrates, and protein. So the balance of the number of calories you have is important. But you have to look at the timing of these nutrients, of these macronutrients. You know, is it post-workout? Is it pre-workout? What is the fiber content? What is the timing throughout the day? What about going to sleep? What about when you first wake up? So that's another component, not just the number of calories, but also the macronutrient content and the timing and the fiber. And then you go deeper. You look into the micronutrition. So certain micronutrients you cannot store. So certain micronutrients you must have on a daily basis. And going into antioxidants, if you have, let's say, for example, antioxidants, you got to think of it as a chain. The term antioxidant, what that means is that you're donating an electron to your cells. An oxidant is something that is it needs an electron. So if you have an antioxidant and the antioxidant donates its electron to your cell so that your cell functions properly, that antioxidant now is missing an electron, and that becomes what's called a free radical. I'm sure a lot of people have heard that term. So that's why it's very important that for your antioxidants, you have the whole gamut. You have all the antioxidants that can replenish the other antioxidants. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on about all the different aspects of micronutrition. You know, essentially what it'll do is also allow you to reduce inflammation if you have the correct micronutrient content. And reducing inflammation will affect your hormones, and that will allow you to sleep better, produce more muscle mass. I mean, I can go on a tangent on this forever. So,
I love it, though, bro. You know, hey, Brent and Weston, I kind of got a question for you it's off topic, but it's on topic. You know, being of the Mormon religion, you know, I'm kind of familiar with some of the aspects of it. You know, growing up in the Mormon church, Weston, I'm not sure if you grew up in the Mormon church also, Brent, but the thing of it is most people don't understand that caffeine and certain aspects, you know, in that religion aren't utilized. So how hard is it for you, Weston, you know, to correlate that into a meal prep and weight cut since you're not allowed certain aspects of food?
So the caffeine, actually, that's not something that's against the church. It's one of those, like, some people, you know, oh, caffeine is soft drinks, and because they didn't serve them at BYU. So it, people thought like that was like a church, you know, regulation, but it's not. It's just coffee, green tea, you know, eat meat sparingly. Like, and it's funny because a lot of the nutritional science coming out, it's kind of supporting that, like, eat meat sparingly, you know, and those type of aspects. But it really hasn't been that difficult because I definitely felt the benefits of it in my life. And like, the no alcohol, no smoking, like, those things obviously are a given, you know. And so, like, I'll never go out and party with a beer or drinks, you know, or anything like that. And I've always been able to take a short notice fight because I don't have that, like, oh, well, I went out and had a rager last night, so I'm not really in the greatest shape or anything like that. So it's definitely helped me. And I know for Brent, you know, it's helped him kind of create great meals. And one thing I want to say about Brent from a fighter's perspective, so the worst part about, like, cooking for yourself as a fighter is you tend to just make, like, the same food over and over again. You get sick of it, and you start getting very unhappy very quickly as weight cut is approaching. I know for me, I'd like be looking at like different food recipes and be like, oh man, that looks so good, I can't wait to have that. And I'd put it in like a Dropbox, like, okay, I'm going to save that recipe after weight cut, I'm going to save that recipe, I'm going to make this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to buy that, you know. But with Brent, I don't have that anymore because he's making things that I like to eat that are healthy, and it takes that stress, it takes that emotion away, the negative emotions away from the weight cut. And I'm like, okay, great, I get to eat this, and I'm excited to eat it, and I'm happy, which then in turn helps me have better training sessions that 2 weeks up to, you know, fight day, instead of me being super miserable and angry, and I'm able to focus more on the fight and not have like the anxiety of a weight cut because of the food that Brent's cooking and the flavors that he incorporates.
See, I love this because it's so informative. You know, a lot of people, they think, oh, I'm not going to do that type of show because, you know, I'm not going to get a Facebook like, I'm not going to get a like on Twitter. You know, I could give two craps about that, to be quite honest with you. I have a loyal fan base of 15, almost 16 years, and, you know, the fighters love the show and they find it relevant. And that's why when I was offered this opportunity, I cherished it because it's factual. Dealing with John in the past, I love what he does for the sport. I love his thoughts and the aspect that he's created, not only in his walk, but for other fighters. What was it that correlated you with Brent Weston? Because now you're a part of this aspect. You three are correlated together. What will the mission statement be for this group moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, so for us, obviously we're not just working with fighters, but our mission statement is really like everybody has a fight during the day, you know, and we just want to fuel them with the right nutrients to get through that fight, you know, your daily struggles, and give them the nutrients. And I mean, Brent, you can speak more on that.
Yeah. Fight food doesn't just apply to the fighters. And, you know, you could be a mother of three kids that you just don't have time to cook. You have a healthy meal ready to just reheat and go. So I think it benefits many, if not all people, of all walks of life. And that was the goal. You know, it's hard enough. Like, you, on the average, you spend 6 to 8 hours a week just shopping and cooking. You take that out of your schedule, and now you have a lot more time to accomplish things or do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do. And if they're tasty, I think that's even better.
And a lot of the meal preps out there, like when Brent and I first started researching this, a lot of the meal preps out there, they do the same rotating menu every week, right? It's the same menu. It's the same food. They might, like, it'll be like asparagus, chicken, and rice. And then next week it'll be chicken, potatoes, and asparagus. You know, they'll switch out one side or they'll switch out the protein, and it rotates through. But what's great about Brent is he's creative and is able to do a full menu every week that's different. Now we're up to like, what, 60 different recipes that we might switch out every week?
Yeah, at least.
But it's not, and no recipe's ever the same either. Like, it's not going to be like, okay, I'm going to do the same exact size every single time. I'm going to do the same exact protein every single time. Like, everything's rotating in. And we're able to kind of, we're trying to start sourcing out different vendors for meats. I know my dad just killed a moose. He's on Alaskan hunt, so we're probably going to buy moose and start adding that on the menu, you know. Like, two opportunities, you know, to play around. We're not stuck with just one thing because Brent's a legitimate, you know, 25 years in the industry cooking to where he has a plethora of knowledge on how to make great food taste great. And now we add John's knowledge of the micronutrients and the macros, you know, so we're hitting every single level that I wanted as a fighter and that I want as a fighter. We're able to hit that and then make it to a mass appeal to the public, to not just fighters, but any athlete, any single person, whether you're a businessman, whether you're a mom, whether, you know, you just don't have time, or whether you're overweight, trying to lose weight, you know, we have all those aspects that we can hit while, you know, keeping that emotional aspect of having great food and tying in that emotion into it.
And with John joining us, it's now we can educate people on why it's important to do it.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, I'm going to kind of throw a monkey wrench into this because I'm a practitioner myself, but I'm also a para-athlete. You know, I'm an amputee. I suffer with diabetes. What type of aspects are you going to correlate for fighters like me that have diabetes, that have other medical conditions that still allow them to fight, but, you know, they still have to look at meal prep and meals the same way that an average fighter? Are you going to be offering some, you know, products like that for fighters and the public that will correlate to the diabetic and other medical condition aspects?
Currently, the population in America has about 30-35% with a diagnosis of diabetes. And being a registered dietitian who works in the clinical field, most of my, or about half of my patients will have diabetes. And with diabetes, you have to look at the total carb content. You have to look at the balanced ingestion of carbohydrates. You can't have them all at once. I'm sure these are things you know, Don. And then you have to balance the micronutrient content of your foods so that way you have a slow, steady release of carbohydrates. And then what that does for everyone is it lets you have a slow, steady pace of energy. So you don't have an up and down swing of energy. You don't crash energy-wise. And so, yeah, it's one of those things where having a registered dietitian on staff who deals with the clinical aspects on a daily basis is going to be a huge component. And there's a lot of people out there who will definitely benefit from having a controlled carbohydrate diet with a meal prep service.
See, I love that because, you know, I know most fighters aren't like me and haven't had to walk down the path that I have in the last 20 years. But, you know, I had a feeding tube at one time, so I went from a liquid diet to having my feeding tube yanked out, which they said never would be. And I had it pulled out, and I had to experience food for the first time again in 14 years. So it was different for me. And, you know, that not only that, they took 3/4 of my stomach, so I was only left with a third of my stomach. So, you know, finding that proper meal prep or finding that proper diet, it's been quite hard on me. So, you know, if there's an opportunity to imply that into your business, I think it would be beneficial to a lot of people because, you know, there's so many practitioners in jiu-jitsu that I know that are diabetic and have walked the walk that I have. And I know people in the sports world that haven't dealt with feeding tubes or anything of that nature, but they also have diabetes, and, you know, sources are limited. So to be able to have you three correlate yourself together, I think it's a tremendous aspect that's going to be added to the sport world knowledge-wise, and not just the sport world, but everyday life, because there's people like me who, yeah, I shoot fights, I do a radio show, but I also roll on the mat, and, you know, I need to keep my body balanced, because if I don't, I'm going to suffer for it. So I think the correlation of you three together is going to be a dominant force. You know, I think it's going to be an aspect that not only the sport, but the world is going to recognize. Where can my listeners that are hearing this now for the first time, that there is a true aspect that can make a difference in, you know, their life as a fighter or as a person in the walk or the soccer mom or a person like me who has diabetes, where can they reach out to the three of you and further get information and possibly even become aspects in getting meal preps from you?
Well, if you're in Southern California, you can go to fightfoodco.com and find us that way. For myself personally, I can do assessments and meal planning essentially anywhere. So you can find me at combatsportsdietitian.com. And in the future, we do plan on having the capability of providing meals anywhere. We're looking at, you know, vacuum sealing and things like this.
Yeah,
so that
different shipping.
Right, different shipping processes and such. And so we can have the ability to produce our meals and send them essentially anywhere at that point. So, in the future, we will have the capacity to reach out to anyone anywhere at fightfoodco.com. And then in the meantime, if you just want to have nutrition assessments or meal planning or consultations, you can find me at combatsportsdietitian.com.
You know, before I let anybody else speak, this is so relevant to me because I've been in the sport for 24 years. And I don't offer this to anybody. Usually it's going to cost you $1,000 plus a month. But if you three gentlemen can correlate a commercial or a quick advertisement for your company, I'm more than willing to run it on my syndicated radio show. Free of charge, no cost to you. I'm willing to pump your company out there because I think it's a necessity, not just for the fight world, but for everybody in life. I think it's an opportunity that you guys created that everybody can take away from. So I'm willing to give you guys free advertisement on my show if you guys are willing and up to, you know, that aspect of sharing who you are.
Absolutely.
We're definitely grateful, Don.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Hey, well, you guys are doing it, man. This show is called The Fighter's Voice. It was named by the fighters. I've always been about the fighters. I've always been about the sport. It's never been about me. And, you know, John will tell you, I believe in Joe Rice from Bite Me Mouth Guards, who actually correlated this, my first show with John and this show. And I'll tell you what, anybody that's trying to make a difference in life, I'm going to back. You know, and I know John and I know what he's about. And if you two are correlated with him, I got your back 100%. I'm willing to share on every show and help you guys grow because I think this needs to be, you know, this is an aspect of the sport that many overlook and they won't even give airtime on their shows, but I'll do these shows 7 days a week if it's beneficial to keeping somebody healthy, keeping somebody on point and taking care of their body for, you know, so they can be around for a while. You know, Brent, I commend you on what you did. You know, I commend you on the walk that you decided to take and bringing John on. I don't think you could have did a better job with him and Weston. You know, you three gentlemen are making a difference in this world where a lot of people don't care anymore. And this is a lot about you. You know, this world has gone to hell in a handbasket real quick. But to see three gentlemen like you that truly care about the nutrition, the health, and the safety of not just fighters, but everybody in their walk is tremendous. I'm going to pass the mic first to you, John, on our way out of here. If there's anything that you would like to add or, you know, share with the world before we let you go, the floor is yours, brother.
Thank you, Don. I just want to thank everyone for listening. Listening to Don McGuire, it's a great show. Obviously, many of you out there are longtime fans, and they all appreciate you as we do. You know, bringing the truth to the world and bringing that aspect not just to MMA but just to everyone. And from a personal standpoint and from a nutrition standpoint, I love to help everyone as best as I can. You know, that's it's one of the enjoyments of having the background and the knowledge that I do is that I can help, you know, pretty much anyone, whatever their fight is. And so, again, it's combatsportsdietitian.com if anyone needs to get a hold of me, and I can work remotely or however is preferred. So thanks again, Don. I look forward to working with you more in the future.
Oh, most definitely. Hey, real recognizes real, brother. Brent, I'm going to go to you next. Where could people find you? Where could people reach out to you? And what would your final statement of the show be?
Yeah, you can go to our website, fightfoodco.com. That'll give you a little brief bio about us. It's still in the works, but we have all our – it's up and running. It has all the meals, plans that we offer, and pricing. You can submit your orders through there. And then if you want to get a real grasp of what we've been doing, you can also hit our IG account, which is Fight Food Co. as well. And, yeah, get in touch with us. If you have any like you said, diabetics, I work with a type 1 diabetic right now and a type 2, so I do have some knowledge about that. We're willing to work with anyone, and that's what we want to do.
I'm going to get with you on that because I have to take 90 units of insulin a day, and I don't get to eat very much fun food. So, you know, most diabetics know what I'm talking about. You know, life isn't very fun. I mean, I do jump out of the box sometimes, but I pay for it later, you know. But every once in a while, you got to, you know, jump into the wild side. And like I said,
sure,
I regret it.
Absolutely.
But you know, I'm going to jump to Weston on his final thoughts. Weston, where can people find you, and what would your final statement be for the show today, sir?
Yeah, so people, you guys can find me at Weston Wilson on Instagram. It's spelled like the hotel, W-E-S-T-I-N, Wilson. So, you know, I've worn a lot of hats in the fight world. I've done the promotion side. I've been a manager. I've coached. I've cornered, you know, all different levels from regional shows to coaching, cornering people in the UFC. You know, and so I'd just like to kind of give a shout out to some of these younger fighters just getting into the sport. Like, just be smart. Don't rush it. You know, do your research on everything. Don't just trust the first piece of advice people give you. And most importantly, focus on your health. You know, don't think that you have to just go in there and brawl, and don't think you have to just go in there and be excited. Focus on your health, and really study and be in tune with your body. That's one thing that I've tried to do my whole career is really just kind of pay attention to what my body needs, and you know, don't feel like you have to push it hard and you know, spar hard every day, because the sport's definitely evolving from where it was, you know. And one big aspect that will help you is through your nutrition. I haven't been the best at my nutrition my whole fight career. And now that I'm, you know, 30 and getting older, in terms of the sport, I focus on it because it's the one key that can help you have longevity, in the sport, that and not taking as many shots in practice, as you guys might be currently taking, you know? So that's my thing. So younger fighters out there listening, be smart, you know, and if you need advice, hit me up. I've lived it all. I've been on every aspect, whether it's the promotion side, management side, coaching side, fighting side, you know, I've done it all. So reach out to me, any fighters out there that want advice, any young fighters, amateurs, you know, whatever, just hit me up, and I'm sure I have experienced it or know somebody that has experienced it. So
most definitely. You know, I love this show because three great aspects truly came together to make a better purpose in life for all individuals, And like I said earlier, you just don't see that. You guys, hey John, get with them, give them my information. You guys get a commercial. All I ask is it don't be longer than a minute in length, you know, and I'll air it on my show. Generally, I usually air commercials, you know, on my shows, but I didn't feel it relevant today because I wanted the context of the show to stay rolling. Of course, when it goes on to iHeart and Univision and Succession next week, they'll break it up and put commercials in there, but I want the opportunity to share your company with the world because I think what you're doing is tremendous. It's game-changing, and you know, adding the scientific aspects with John Sassone is tremendous. I think what you guys are doing needs to be commended, and a lot of fighters need to take notice of the aspect and that you're, you know, providing the world. You know, I think it can benefit everybody, not just in the fight world, but in their walks in life. I truly enjoyed having you guys on the show today. I look forward to doing many more with you because this is kind of what really gets me hyped up is the stuff that most people won't talk about but truly need to hear. You know, so I commend you gentlemen on your walk. Get with me on that commercial and advertisement. We'll do it on the show, and I'll do it on every show because I think it's something that needs to be heard. You know, I share the truth, and you gentlemen truly are a fine example of that. I want to thank Joe Rice from Bite Me Mouth Guards for correlating this show today. It takes the true aspects of the sport to share the truth, and what you gentlemen are doing is truly to be commended. I appreciate you, and thank you for joining the show today. John, it's been awesome, my brother.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Yeah, we'll be in touch without a doubt, and it'll be fun, you know, moving forward. I'd like to maybe bring a different component of nutrition science. You know, maybe we can do a you know, weekly or monthly show, and I think that'll definitely attract a lot of people to understand what it is about eating that they can change to improve how they are, you know, whether it's fighting or just living.
I'm down for that, brother. I am more down to do that than any other show because if you can change somebody's life, like we talked about at the end of the show, or the beginning of the show, I apologize, you know, Katie Collins, we don't know if she's going to live till Monday.
Yeah.
We don't know what occurred, but, you know, your diet and different aspects can change, you know, and create a different environment and path for you, and you can be healthy and not have to worry about issues such as this. You know, I commend you, gentlemen, and again, once again, thank you for coming on the show. I truly appreciate you, Brent, Weston, and John. You're making a difference in the world, and that's something a lot of people aren't doing. With that being said, thank you. You guys have a great day, and bless you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don.
All right. Bye-bye, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, nutrition scientist John Sassone, Brent Sanford, and veteran warrior Weston Wilson. Man, how much more informative can you get than that? You know, and I just don't offer free commercialism on my show, but you know, this is something that truly needs to be heard, and you know, I'm going to look to do a show with John, and I'm also going to try to bring Dr. Gary Furness on, you know, each one of those shows, so we can correlate to the athletes, to people in their walk, what true nutrition and taking care of your body truly does. I mean, as a diabetic, I suffer from, you know, different aspects as a practitioner, but to see fighters that can't even walk to the scale, let alone get on the scale, you know, that needs to end. And these three gentlemen can truly do that for you. So I suggest you reach out to at Fight Food Co. on Instagram and on Facebook and get your meal prep through them. You know, I don't back anybody, but I truly will back them. On that note, to each and every one of you, have a good day and God bless.
Love, better let me know, capping it. Take a knee like Kaepernick. Just to put the ring on my pretty young thing. Anne Marie told me it's just one thing.